Such a joy to have you with us this wonderful Easter morning. I pray that we just have a wonderful celebration as it continues on after the singing. We are looking forward to just a great time in God's Word, and I just so appreciate Alex and Cosette coming in and sharing in song with us. Hey, let me try something. You respond to what I'm saying. You know the finish, the second line to this, so he is risen. Oh, wait a minute. I think you can do better than that. So why don't you try it again? He is risen. Oh, I heard you loud and clear. He is risen indeed. You know, as we celebrate Easter, we look at the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed did raise from the grave. You know, that victory that Alex and Cosette just sang about is so real and so true. And we get to celebrate that. Just a couple of announcements before we get going. First, I want to remind you, in case you've forgotten, that we're going to celebrate communion at the end of the service today. And so if you need to go get your elements so that we can partake together as a church body, that would be great. Also, I want to remind everybody to be sure to live stream the guys, live stream the men's conference the first weekend in May. We're going to have three different pastors live streaming from their churches. One of them will indeed be Pastor Eric here from Rocky Mountain Calvary, and I'm just looking forward to that. So please, please take part, participate in that. Have a great time. Also, the ladies' spring event will be live streamed from here, and I pray all the ladies will take advantage of that as well. We are just so excited to celebrate Easter. I know this is a different way. I know that we enjoy doing it together. I know that with a little sadness, we couldn't have our sunrise service there in Ellicott. Down at the school, but RJ did a great job this morning doing what he could with the bandwidth out there. We know the internet is rather poor, but he still did a great job, and I so appreciated that. You know, when we look at Easter and the fun and the festivities, I'm just reminded of the reality of my own personal salvation, of what Christ was willing to do for me. And I understand myself, and I'm not sure, I'm quite convinced that a person like me I would not have died for, but my Savior did. And God accepted that sacrifice in a wonderful way so that I could be set free from the burden of sin. That's what Easter is all about. I know it's filled with Easter egg hunts and things like that usually, but the core of the celebration surrounds the fact that we serve a risen Savior. Matter of fact, bottom line is, our only hope is in our living Savior. You know, Christ declared to the disciples that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through him. And those are his words, not mine, not the disciples, his words. And there is total truth in those words. And I just pray that you hear that, you understand that, that your heart is wide open to those truths. Hope. You know, during a COVID-19 pandemic and all the things that we're walking through as a nation, as a world, having hope is a key. I remember a cute little story in our little rural newspaper way back in the 70s. We had just gotten back from Okinawa, Diane and I, and a reporter had gone to the local Little League games, and they were getting updates on the different scores and things like that. And the reporter walked up to one of the benches and tapped a little guy on the shoulder and asked what the score was. And the little guy said, 18 to nothing. And, oh, who's ahead? They are. And the reporter said, "Oh, you must be really discouraged." And that little fellow looked up at the reporter and said, "Why would I be discouraged? We haven't been up to bat yet." Now that's hope. And it is built around something that we truly believe in. He believed that once his team got to bat, this was before the no mercy rules and things like that, that things would change. Well, I can promise you this. Through Jesus Christ, your life can change. My life radically did. I know that your life can radically change because our steadfast hope is in a living Savior. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again so much for your goodness to us. Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior today, we ask your hand a blessing on it. We ask that these truths would just ring true in all of our hearts. Father, that we would be looking up, look to you in these days, and that we would not be a people that would lose hope. I know many families are going through horrible times. We know even families here at Rocky Mountain Calvary and out in Ellicott that are suffering through the COVID. And Lord, we know that they're in hospitals and they're battling and they're discouraged. And Lord, I just pray that you would wrap your loving arms around each family around the world that's involved in this and reveal yourself in a profound way. Even those who must be lonely at home, not being able to see friends and family, I just pray that you would be their source of strength today, their source of encouragement throughout the week. And Lord, again, that they would look up and see your smiling face and the wonders of all that you've given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We can walk steadfastly during these days. We certainly can bring glory to your holy name. We certainly can always have hope because you are God, because you have created everything, because you have provided salvation through your one and only Son. So, Father, today we just ask your hand a blessing on every household that is live streaming this right now, every household that will live stream with Pastor Eric today and tomorrow, yesterday. And Lord, I just pray that to each home, as they watch these things, they would be blessed, encouraged, and strive to walk with you during very dark, difficult days. Oh, Father, we love you, and we thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord, in whose name I pray. Amen. I invite everybody to turn into Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 27. Now, we have been going through the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and there we have seen that we are indeed bought with a price. The very price was the life, the death, burial, the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are indeed, those who are in Christ, we recognize we were bought with a price. And the joy that we have, and yet, yes, the responsibility that we have in receiving that wonderful free gift of God in salvation in Him. And I just want to remind us of these truths as contained in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 27, if you go all the way down to verse 45, we will know that he has already been mocked. He's been beaten. He's had the thorn of crowns driven onto his head. We know that he's been nailed to the cross. They are crucifying him, and he is presently on the cross. Now, notice what happens in verse 45 while he is on the cross. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. I want you to know that this was middle of the day and it shouldn't have been dark, but God did this thing and there is this darkness, and there's a real reason why this permeated everything that was going on. And it was about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want us to understand that it was during those 3 hours that he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, became sin for us. Now, where did that sin come from? It came from me, from Alex, Cosette, Scott, who is in the back of the room, from many of the viewers that are here. You know, our sins were placed in his body there on the tree, as well as everybody else. And the truth of that is so real, and we need to understand that. That's why I love, and I shared on Friday in my little devotional, that thought from 1 Peter chapter 2, where he himself, Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. It was your sin, my sin, the sins of the world. The issue is whether or not that sacrifice becomes effective in your heart, my heart. I am so glad for God's long-suffering, waiting for me to see the reality of my sinfulness and his holiness, and recognizing that my sinfulness separated me from him, and that there was absolutely nothing I could do. I was powerless. The standard is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and only Jesus Christ in him crucified. It can't be you or me. It can't be the things that we do good. It can't be the things that we give. Now, we should be giving. We should be sacrificial. We should be caring for others. That's what God's called us to do. But all of those wonderful good things cannot bridge that gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. The only thing that does is the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't imagine that, where God the Father turned his back on God the Son because he became sin. And God began pouring out all the wrath that you and I deserve. It's our sin, remember that you and I deserve. I know I deserve it. And Christ removed me from condemnation and placed me and adopted me into the family of God. That's the wonders of salvation. Notice how this passage continues. Verse 47. Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling on Elijah." And immediately one of them ran, took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. What's captured here is the fact that Jesus Christ in that last moment said, "It is finished. It is finished." The payment for sin for you and me, it was finished. God now would graciously, mercifully accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice on your way, on your behalf and my behalf, so that we could be set free from the condemnation of sin. The joy of that, the wonder of that. Notice how it continues on in verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now you have to remember that there was this 10-inch thick wide veil between the holiest of holies in the temple and the rest of the temple. And all of a sudden, it ripped in half so people could see into the holiest of holies. And if we remember right, the holiest of holies was a place where only the high priest could go once a year to sprinkle blood to cover the sins of the Israelites. Now it's rent. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself shed his blood on your behalf, on my behalf. We now have access to God. Total, complete, wonderful access through the shed blood of the Lamb. Reason for celebration? Absolutely. Reason to say, hallelujah, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Absolutely. I remember being called upon in Erie, Pennsylvania to do a community service. And with joy, I got to meet the person who passed. In talking to him, I knew that he knew Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And so then it becomes an honor as well as responsibility to share him with those who would show up. And it was a time when everybody was sharing that thought, God is good, you know, all the time, God is good. And as the people came in this particular funeral, over half the people were carrying Bibles, which surprised me for a community funeral. And so I knew that I was talking to a bunch of people who understood God's word. And so I don't know why, but in the midst of it, I said, God is good. And all of a sudden, I got echoed back all the time. And I said, all the time, they said, God is good. And from the back of the audience, someone yelled out, God is all good all the time. And what a beautiful truth. That is true. He is all good all the time. And you and I can celebrate that through the rent veil. Our hope now becomes true and real, and access to the true and living God of the universe, the creator of the universe. You and I can go to him all the time, anytime, for whatever reason, and call upon him. If you're here today and you're listening to my voice and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, don't let this Resurrection Sunday pass you by, because in reality, for the child of God, every day is a resurrection day. We celebrate. Our hope is found in a risen Savior, the living Savior. We have that truth contained for us in God's word. RJ shared with the folks the first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'd remind everybody to look at that, of how many proofs are there that Christ rose again and the wonder of it. Notice what happens after the veil is rent. Verse 52, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep or had died were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city, appeared to many. So, I love this. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had just happened, the rent veil down the hill as I looked at the temple, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Well, it shouldn't have been past tense. He is the Son of God, and he will always remain the Son of God. And that is what we celebrate at Easter, what we call Easter, the resurrection of our Savior, the joy of him, the wonders of that. Ah, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He had to die before he could rise again. God indeed accepted the atonement. In other words, his sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, was worthy of all the holy judgment of our God on your behalf and my behalf. And so by you and I placing our faith in the finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. That's why in Romans chapter 10, we would read these verses, very familiar verses. If you and I confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you and I will be saved. Ah, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ, the fact that he did die and was risen again, our hope, our eternal hope, forever hope, it is in him. If you have never, ever done that, do that today. Then go grab some communion elements. It doesn't save you. This is just a remembrance of all that he accomplished for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we get to celebrate that. Ah, being in Christ, walking in favor of God, being able to really sing hallelujah, and he hears it along with all of the angels. He is the victory. We just sang about that. Ah, the mighty victory. You and I can walk in that. Set free from the bondage of our sins. We can be radically transformed. Grow in Christ in a wonderful way. In a way so much that people around us will be simply amazed. What's happened to him? I can declare this without a doubt. My family, my immediate family, my siblings, they go, what's going on with Rich and Diane? What are they doing? Also, I know that my in-laws did the same thing. What is going on in their lives? And it was Christ working in us for his glory and the wonder of it and the joy of it. It radically changed our lives. And I am so excited to declare that to you today. You can walk closer with God. You can walk wonderfully and be encouraged by him. You'll have the indwelling of the Spirit of God to give you strength during the difficult times. His steadfast love, it is so real. It is so true. Go back to Matthew's gospel and notice what it says. And I'm going to skip over a few verses because we know that they put guards on the tomb. He's placed in a tomb. They put guards on the tomb. And all of a sudden, something wonderful happens. Verse 62. And on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, remember how while he was alive, he that deceiver said, after 3 days he will rise. Now, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they all knew that that is exactly what Christ came for. The Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, it revealed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It revealed the time of his death. It revealed the place of his birth. It revealed his life in so many ways, and the fact that he would rise again. Christ did not keep this a secret as he taught for those 3+ years. He kept declaring it over and over again. I will be put to death by deceitful men, and I will rise again on the third day. Matter of fact, he said that is going to be the only sign that you need to see it. And he used the analogy of Jonah and the big fish because Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days before he was spit out on the beach to go to Nineveh. He said, that's the only sign you need. I'm going to do that. So that's what we capture here. Verse 64, therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal it away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception would be worse than the first. Wow, really blaspheming the Son of God. Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting guards in front of it. But that didn't stop our Savior. Didn't stop the hand of God. It did not stop the mighty power and work of the Holy Spirit of God. In this rebirth, you and I, the old King James used to say, you and I were quickened literally made alive in Christ. When you and I receive the free gift of God, for by grace we are saved through faith, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast, not of works, lest any man should boast. That joy, receiving that free gift, we come out of the grave, we're made alive, spiritually alive in Christ, forever alive in Christ. He gave his life for us. I love what John shares, or what the Lord shared with us in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 15, we would read these verses. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's already declared he is the good shepherd. And he goes, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. In other words, are not Jewish. In other words, this sacrifice is going to be great for Gentiles too. Great for Jew, Gentile, all of humanity. Then also, I must also bring with me in the family of God. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Rise again. He kept declaring that wonderful truth. He would rise again, and that he was going to give his life. He loved the Father. He wanted to bring glory to the Father, and he did through his death, burial, and resurrection. He willingly went to the cross. Before that, he said this in John chapter 10, starting with verse 9. He goes, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The child of God. You and I, he is the door. It is there where we can find nourishment, rest, peace. In this time of COVID-19, all of us need that in our lives. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the true source of that. The wonderful, best source of that. We can encourage one another. I have been texting more than I've ever texted in my whole life. I don't care to text, I have to admit. I'm older than many of you. To you, it's as good as conversation. I like conversation better. But to be able to encourage and do things, yes, that's what we do. That passage goes on to says this, the thief, Satan, the evil one, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his thing. He wants all of us not to follow after Christ. Satan, the evil one, doesn't want any of us to trust Christ as Savior because he hates God. But what does Jesus say after that? He goes, but I have come that we may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Life more abundantly. That abundance is for the here and now and forever. Don't think it's just an eternal home in the presence of God's love. It is far beyond that. It is for here and now. And Paul said, and if we believe it's only for here and now, it's not worth very much. No, it's both and. It's both and. It is forever, from the day of salvation all the way through eternity. That's why we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We get excited about it because it is true. Notice again in Matthew's gospel what happens starting in verse 1 of chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook with fear of him. And they became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see where the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. Well, I can tell you the guards also ran with fear and trembling. They ran to the Pharisees and told them what happened about the angel rolling back the stone and the resurrection, you know, the empty tomb. He was gone. And guess what? The Pharisees told them, go tell a lie. Yeah, tell them that the disciples overcame you and stole the body of Jesus, rather than marvel at the truth and come to a saving knowledge of the truth that indeed Jesus is God, the Son of God, and is risen again. Verse 9 goes on to say this, "So they went to tell the disciples, and Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" You know, Christ has risen for you and I. That's a true statement. The sacrifice is real. The payment for sin is real. It is true. You and I, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, come to that wonderful saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that you and I can have hope, real hope. Steadfast hope. That's what the series this weekend is about. Living steadfastly because of the finished work of Christ. Excuse me. As we consider the finished work of Christ, I want to take us to another passage of Scripture that really should give us hope. Real hope beyond here and now, beyond COVID-19, beyond where life finds our circumstances now, but truly in the one who died for us and rose again. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A very familiar passage of Scripture, I know, for many folks. That is found just before 1 and 2 Timothy and Hebrews, and right after Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians. Philippians and Colossians, but if go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's page 1040 in my Bible. I don't know what it is in yours, but it's page 1040. Notice what it says, because the folks in Thessalonica were being taught a lie. They were being taught that they had missed the resurrection. In other words, God's promise to come and take us home with him. You would catch that in John chapter 14. He goes to the disciples, "Don't be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you can be also." He's coming again. And that's what this captures. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. He goes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." You know, I have had many friends, relatives, who have gone through the veil of death, and I know, like my mom and dad, they had hope in Jesus Christ. They came to a saving knowledge of Christ at a later date in their lives and began walking in that and enjoying that. And wow. And so, was it hard when they died? Absolutely. But was there hope in my heart? Absolutely. A steadfast hope because of the promises of God. Notice verse 14 where it says, again, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. See, that's what faith is. Believing in the finished work of Christ, repenting of our sin and trusting him alone as our Savior, and rejoicing in that, celebrating that. Notice how it continues on. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. In other words, I'm not making this up. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. But the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. To see what I mean by abundant living? Steadfast hope is forever. It isn't just for here and now to where we can walk through difficult circumstances and still rejoice. We can walk through pain because our faith is in the finished work of Christ. It is placed in the power of God, not in and of ourselves at all. And when I start walking in my own strength, then I feel the pain of despair and discouragement and frustration. It is only when I walk in the strength, being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, can I celebrate the fruit of the Spirit in me, to have the comfort of God, to be able to have the peace of God, to be able to have the rest that I need in him. That is steadfast hope in the living Savior. See, he laid down his life for us, but he also rose again for us. Now notice the catch the very last phrase, therefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I can't say it any plainer. Christ died for you. You just need to confess, repent of your sin, and trust him as Savior. You know, when we partake of communion, the cup represents his shed blood. The cracker represents his broken body, the place where your sin and my sin was placed in his body, and he suffered the wrath of God for us. It was a sad yet rejoicing time. That's why the ladies with fear and joy ran to tell the disciples. All of this came true in the wonder of it. So I don't know where you are in your walk with God today. But I'm going to ask you right now, before we partake of communion, that you trust Christ as Savior. If you've never done that, let today be that day. Remember what I said in Romans chapter, what I read in Romans chapter 10? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart, the heart, we believe. If we believe all this in our heart and we truly repent, we celebrate. We celebrate all that we have in Christ. And I want you to celebrate with me. So I'm going to pray right now. And if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, I want you to trust Christ as Savior. And when we get back, I'm going to talk about the steadfast things that we can have in our walk with God here and now. Pray with me if you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Those of you who know Christ as Savior, be praying for those who haven't, that they would trust Christ today. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, you know the audience that is watching. You know each one of our hearts. And Lord, I just lay them at your feet, asking that your Spirit indeed would work in the hearts and lives of each and every one. And Lord, if there's just one there who has never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be that day. What greater joy could there be in the life of a Christian than to know that they're born again or become saved on the day that we celebrate it, that we celebrate it every day. So, Father, if there is one there, I'm going to ask them to follow me and believe in their heart this prayer. Oh, Father, please forgive me because I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, I pray that I just truly, truly believe in your Son and his finished work on the cross and the grave. I believe that he died and rose again for me personally. And today I want Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The Lord, save me. Help me grow in my newfound faith. Use me for your glory. Give me that steadfast hope that Pastor Rich shared from the scriptures today, to be able to walk steadfastly with you. Oh, Father, I pray that right now in that heart or those hearts that they know without a doubt, because you wrapped your loving arms around them, that you reassured them that you are God and that you love them as they stepped into your love and grace and mercy this day. Thank you for loving us so much. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You and I can have hope. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Well, we can't leave without doing something in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15 is one of those great, great chapters. And if you just trusted Christ as Savior, if you've been saved for a long time or just a few weeks, I want you to hear these thoughts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you go down to verse 56, notice what it says. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law, the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's victory. Salvation is victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, what is he saying? He is saying for you and I to have a steadfast faith, a steadfast hope, a wonderful steadfast hope in the risen Savior. And you know, if you and I steadfastly walk in the promises of God, you and I can always be reminded of this. Our God still hears us. Remember, the veil is rent. He hears us instantly, the very moment that we pour out our heart to him. I love walking through through a day in life, you know, praying for people. Yesterday I was in Walmart. It was really chaotic. And at first I got frustrated because of the chaos. And then I said, well, this is foolish. Start praying for the people. You know, and so I could have a smile on my face, even though I had a mask on. I had a smile on my face, you know, and was just praying for people as I walked by. I didn't know their hearts. I didn't know the frustrations. I didn't know their discouragements. But I know the one who knows their hearts. I know the one who might know what they are walking through and the one who can encourage them. So I prayed. I love praying. He hears us. And so we could be steadfast in prayer and understanding he still hears us. Guess what? He still pours out his love. It doesn't stop at salvation. Romans chapter 5 declares it. You know, that through the power of his Spirit, he pours out his love into our hearts moment by moment each day. So you and I can have that steadfast faith, that steadfast hope. We can be assured of this. He still pours out his grace and mercy, and we can walk steadfastly in that, knowing that when we blow it, sin again, God will forgive us, readily forgive us, and so that we can come back and follow him and be passionate about our following him. I know this, he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. What a promise of God. So we can walk steadfast in this life in that hope, wondrous hope that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I am his child. I've been adopted into his family, John chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. I don't deserve to be a child of God, but that's the wonders of salvation. I'm his child. He's my heavenly father. Romans chapter 8 is just filled with so many blessings. And one of them is the fact that we can cry out, Abba. That literally means father or daddy. We can call out to him, and as our heavenly father, he meets your needs and my needs sufficiently to walk through the day, to walk through the moment of every day. Steadfast faith, steadfast hope. Guess what? Heaven is very real. Very real. Eternity in the presence of a loving God who cared for us, who provided salvation for us at a huge cost, his own son. I still marvel at the thought that Jesus Christ would take up residence in a womb for me. I'm amazed at that. But he did. But I'm even more amazed that he would go to the cross and bear the wrath of God for my sin. And I just so rejoice that he did. And he did the same for you. Heaven is very, very real. I also know this. He will return. I don't know when. I hope he's laying the foundation through this world pandemic, and soon we will see our Savior's face to face. But Lord, I also know that he is at work, and he wants to be at work in your life and my life and through us, sharing the great good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of salvation, the reality of salvation, and celebrate all that we have in Christ. You know what that tells me? It also tells me he's still in the business of saving sinners. I was pretty bad. Paul declared himself the worst, probably because he persecuted the church and burden that he felt in that. I want you to have hope today. Genuine hope, real hope, solid hope, steadfast hope. We have that through a faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I remember reading in Robin's Readers, Holding On to Hope. It was an account of World War II and things that happened within all of the POW camps. They were brutal. They were hard. They were difficult. And a lot of people perished there. And in this book, it declared that many of them perished not because they were weaker physically than the other men, but because they gave up hope. They gave up hope. So the author then asked all of these returning POWs, what could they possibly find hope in? And they found hope in everything. They found hope in their faith. And they shared and they talked about that. They found hope in just talking about what the next great meal, once they're set free, what that meal might taste like. Even the ones who got Dear John letters breaking up, they found hope in trying to describe the kind of woman that might fall in love with them when they get home and get married and start a family. They always wanted to have a future filled with hope. And so their steadfastness in that hope led many researchers to believe that that is why they survived. Hope. You and I have hope. Real hope. Let's pray and celebrate communion together. Our Father and our God, thank you again so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonder of your love. And as we gather around the elements to celebrate communion today, we ask your hand a blessing in a profound way. Lord, might the reality of your death, burial, and resurrection be ours. Might our position in Christ be ours. Might our celebration in the hope of Christ be ours today. Thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord. Amen. Paul shares with us in the book of Corinthians this truth, and he took the bread, our Lord broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We also know that in the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, folks, if you trusted Christ for the first time today as your Savior, please leave it for a comment for us. I want to reach out to you. I want to pray for you. I want to share that reality. If you're still confused and want to know what salvation is, please comment that as well. And we have people who are there waiting to interact with you, wanting to encourage you that today is the day of salvation, to trust Christ, to walk in that victory, to be steadfast in hope in a risen Savior, something tangible and real and in a wonderful way. I pray for all of you that this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday of 2020, different from any other Sunday we've ever had, would be the most blessed you live in, because he is able. Lord bless. Have a great day.